today on Living on Every Word.
What is the Goliath, the giant in your life that needs to be slain? What is the insurmountable problem or struggle that you're having that needs to be put to death? David had overcoming faith. I want to ask you, is your faith overcoming today?
Life can sometimes present challenges that seem impossible for us to overcome. Whether it's a difficulty in a marriage, with our children, or a financial crisis, we all will someday have a Goliath to face. How will you overcome in those situations? In today's study, Pastor Mike Fritcher shows us how David overcame his Goliath, and how we can too, in part 7 of our study, The Impact of Faith.
Living on every word.
If you have your Bibles, turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to continue our study on the heroes of faith. The men and women that have gone before us who had faith to believe and to see wonderful things happen. And we are in verse 32, and we're going to look at David today. We're going to look at David's life and his conquering or overcoming faith, and how we as believers have this same kind of faith if we're in Christ. Now I want you to notice verse 32, what more shall I say, for time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David, and Samuel and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. I look at this passage of Scripture and I see David all over it. I see David who did put foreign armies to flight. David, who by faith conquered kingdoms and performed acts of righteousness and obtained the promises of God and shut the mouths of lions. You say, I thought that was Daniel. I want to tell you, the lion is still alive and still around. And his mouth needs to be shut. When I look at David's life, I see a man who quenched the power of fire, who escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness was made strong, became mighty in war, and put foreign armies to flight. And I see this in one of the greatest victories of his life. The victory found in 1 Samuel chapter 17 when he faced the giant. 1 Samuel chapter 17. David had overcoming faith. I want to ask you, is your faith overcoming today? When I think about this whole approach this morning of looking at Goliath and looking at what he represents and who he represented in those days, and his challenge and his taunting, I would ask the question just right off, what is the Goliath, the giant in your life that needs to be slain? What is the Goliath, what is the giant that you need to put to flight? What is the insurmountable problem or struggle that you're having that needs to be put to death, that needs to be slayed once and for all? And if Goliath's dead, he can't come back from the grave. He can't come back to haunt, can't come back to taunt. And when we talk about a Goliath in your life, we're talking about seeing it slain so it never comes back. Now I want to tell you, that's a good proposition, isn't it? It's a great proposition from the kingdom of God that secures our victory the moment we believe and the rest of our lives. When I look at this passage of Scripture, we see verse 17. We see that David is going to face a real enemy in a certain battle. And I'll tell you, the believer in Christ faces a real enemy in a certain battle. You are in a war. And when we look at this passage of Scripture, we see the war that's facing Israel at this moment, that there is a Goliath. And he is a giant of a man. Notice chapter 17, verse 1. The Philistines were gathered. They gathered their armies for battle, and they were gathered at Socah, which belongs to Judah, and they camped between Socah and Azekah in Ephesadamim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered and camped in the valley of Elah and drew up in a battle array to encounter the Philistines. And the Philistines stood on the mountain on the one side while Israel stood on the mountain on the other side with the valley between them. Then a champion came out from the armies of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits in a span. A cubit's about 18 inches, so he was about 9 foot and a little bit over 9 foot. Giant of a man. bronze helmet on his head, clothed with scale armor, which weighed 5,000 shekels of bronze. He also had bronze greaves on his legs and bronze javelins slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the head of the spear weighed 600 shekels of iron. His shield carrier also walked before him, and he stood and he shouted to the ranks of Israel and said to them, "Why do you come out to draw up in battle array? Am I not a Philistine? And you servants of Saul, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. And if he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will become your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And again, the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." Now, when Saul and Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Have you ever been dismayed and greatly afraid? I mean, dismayed. Where the circumstance was so overwhelming. You know, look at Goliath, and here is a man who would cause dismay in all of our lives. That's what the enemy comes to do. I mean, you look at Goliath, and you look at this giant of a man, this giant warrior who represents his people. I mean, he is coming out to say, "Look, just one battle here between two men, and we'll settle the whole thing here." And so when he comes out, he's representing Philistia. He's huge, he's mighty, he's won many battles, he's experienced. Experienced. He is not there because he's lost battles. He's alive, and he's won many battles. He's intimidating. Toe-to-toe, man-to-man, there's no one his equal, no one greater. And Goliath is the representative of the enemy that comes to take away, who comes to destroy, who comes to enslave, who comes to pillage. He represents the kingdom of this world and the culture. And make no mistake about it, he wants to destroy you. He wants to destroy your babies. He wants to destroy your daughters and your sons and your grandchildren. I mean, folks, we're talking about an absolute total pillaging if Goliath wins today. And it's the same thing today in your life. If Goliath wins, if the enemy wins in your life, there is going to be defeat and misery. There's going to be enslavement. There's going to be bondage. This is the enemy. This is the Goliath. The New Testament calls the war a struggle. Ephesians 6:10, the scripture speaks of the Holy Spirit leading us to be strong in the Lord. Notice what it says, Ephesians 6:10, "Finally, be strong in the Lord, in the strength of his might, and put on the full armor of God, so that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it is against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." There's a certain war and a specific enemy, and we're all in it. And we're either being conquerors and overcomers by our faith, or we're being destroyed. Our struggle is not flesh and blood. Our struggle is against the demonic forces of hell, bottom line. That's what the scripture's speaking of. And folks, we have the ability and we have the strength and we have the faith, if we are in Christ, to overcome this enemy, to overcome this Goliath, to overcome these insurmountable odds, these impossible odds. You have within you, if you are in Christ, you have this great ability and strength to lay down the Goliath. And you can do that today. It can happen today. And you know, I look at my life and I say, you know, I want to be like this David in these young days. I want to walk the way he walked as a youth when he faced the Goliath of his day. What gave him this faith? What will give you the faith to conquer kingdoms? Because there's kingdoms in your life to conquer. Come on, I'm just telling you that. There is. The enemy can be defeated in your life. What was it that caused David to overcome such a great, great enemy as Goliath? What was it that caused him? And I think there's several things that we need to have and we need to pursue to see this overcoming faith secured in our lives. I think the very first thing that I would say is that securing overcoming faith, I do that through having a heart after God. You got to have a heart after God. Not after the world, but after God. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 13. Keep your place in 17. See, David had a heart after God. Now, to see it really in context of David's heart, you've got to see the heart of Saul. Because the scripture speaks of rejecting Saul and accepting David. See, remember, it was Saul's battle, but he didn't have a heart after God. He didn't have a heart after God's promises, after God's word. And the scripture speaks that a heart after God is the man and woman who will do all of God's will, not just a portion. And Saul was not that kind of man. He was not the kind of man to hear the command of God and go do everything that God's called him to do. And therefore, God says, I'm going to reject you as being king. You're rejected in my sight because you wouldn't do all my will. He had a problem with doing God's will. Now, I would be safe to say that every one of us in here have some propensity of Saul's spirit. I mean, there's so many times in our lives that we'll do all these things for God and we'll stop before completing what God's called us to do. We see it twice in Scripture. We see it two times. And it's interesting, in chapter 13, verse 14, after the first time that he disobeyed and did not follow out fully the command of God, notice what it says in verse 4. He says to Saul, "Your kingdom shall not endure, because the Lord has sought out for himself a man after his own heart, and the Lord has appointed him as ruler over his people, because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you." When you go to chapter 15, you'll see another shot at it. When God calls him to go and destroy the Amalekites, and how he spares Agag, and he spares the best of the sheep, and he spares the best of the cattle. And he's won a great victory in his eyes. But God made a command. He said, you destroy everything. And when you look at this story, you see God grieving that he made Saul king. Matter of fact, the Bible says God regretted making Saul king. God regretted that. Does God regret? Looks like he does, doesn't it? I regret it because he has not carried out my command. I've made this investment. I've given him this call. And what am I seeing? I'm seeing disobedience. But Saul doesn't see it. Saul says, I've won a great victory. Matter of fact, the scripture says he built a monument for himself, a memorial. A memorial to Saul. Prophet comes to him and says, you know, one time you were little in your own eyes. You walked in humility. And I was able to use that. But now you've become prideful. And you've not carried out the command of the Lord. He said, yes, I have. I carried out the command of God. And you know what the prophet says? Well, what is this bleating of sheep and lowing of oxen in my ears? I'm hearing things. You know what Saul has the audacity to say? We saved him for you. The sacrifice to you. And you know what this prophet says? Has God much delight in sacrifice as in obeying the voice of God? To obey is better than sacrifice, and heed is better than the sacrifice of lambs. God wants you to be obedient. And you know what? Partial obedience is disobedience. It's just the bottom line. You ever go into your kid's room and say, man, this is a mess? You ever done that? You don't have kids. Room's a mess. Clean it up. And they spend 3 hours on it, and you go in, and half of it's clean and half of it's not. Did my child fully obey me with half the room being clean? No. I didn't ask you to clean half the room. I asked you to clean the whole room. And when you clean just half the room, you walked in disobedience to your mother and your father. That's the kind of problem that Saul had. And this is the same standard of God. God says, listen, I'll give you everything you need. I'll equip you to be totally obedient. I'll give you a heart that'll do that. Saul didn't do it. Sheep in the background, oxen lowing. I want to ask you, what's the sheep in your background? What's the cattle that's blowing? What's the thing that God told you to give up that you've not given? What is it that God has told you to do that you've not done? What is it that you have spared and you think, well, I'll just sacrifice to God and make it better? No, you don't do that. You repent. We have whole doctrines on this. Just go on and sin this week and go on and confess it and you'll be clean. God wants repentance, a repentant lifestyle. And Saul doesn't have it. Matter of fact, Saul thinks he's done a great job. Matter of fact, he sets up a monument for himself. Look at the great job I've just done. And yet he's been disobedient. Partial obedience is disobedience, folks. Yeah, there's a seemingly great victory, but you have failed. And the kingdom's going to split, and I'm going to give this kingdom to somebody else because of your disobedience, because of your heart. You have a heart that will not do all my will. Well, when he speaks of David, he says, listen, this is a man after my own heart who will keep what I command him. Look on the screen, Acts 13:22. Paul speaks of Saul. After he had removed Saul, he raised up David to be their king, concerning whom he also testified and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart. Watch, who will do all my will. Conquering faith, overcoming faith, means that you're willing to do, and you will do, by the power of God, all of God's will. You'll not turn back to anything that He's called you to do. If He's told you to forgive your mother, you're going to forgive your mother, and you're going to forgive her completely. He's called you to release that debt and quit grumbling about that person who didn't do what he said he would do. Well, you're going to get rid of that grumbling spirit and you're going to walk in love for that man. Walk in love for that woman. You're going to do all the will of God because you have a heart after him. That's what makes David so special and Saul so evil. What's such a blessing today when I look at this passage of Scripture is that when a man turns to Christ and believes Him, and God will come and put His Spirit within him, Scripture calls this the new heart, a heart with the propensity to trust and obey. Ezekiel 11:19, a great memory verse. I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within them, and I will take the heart of stone out of their flesh. And I'll give them a heart of flesh. Why? So that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinance and do them. And then they'll be my people and I shall be their God. Why did God put His Spirit in you? So that you could walk according to the Word. That's why. That's why you have the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God will lead you and guide you to make right decisions in Christ. That's why you got the Spirit. And that's what He promises in Ezekiel. And this promise in Ezekiel 11:19 is for you and me. I'm going to take the heart of stone out. The heart of stone that has the propensity to walk in rebellion, to grumble, to complain. And I'm going to put the new Spirit of God in them. They're going to have a new heart and they're going to do all my will. You say impossible. If it was possible, it wouldn't be faith. And by faith, all things are possible. I want to choose to believe that. I want to choose to believe that this salvation is so wonderful that it has its beginning in my belief in Christ to save me from my sin and my rebellion and then to bring me to a place where I'm overcoming by that same faith. But it's all in the heart. You got to have a heart after God. Let me ask you, what's your heart running after today? What is it panting after? Do you have this new, clean heart that wants to do all God's will? A man after my own heart. We secure overcoming faith through this new heart that pursues God, but also through hearing God's word. What's so exciting about David is that he heard the word of God. Go to 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 1. 1 Samuel chapter 16 is the call of David. Saul has been rejected. David has been found. The prophet goes to anoint the new king. Comes to the father, Jesse. Says, you got a son here that's going to be the next king. Prophet goes in and Scripture says in verse 6, when the sons began to enter, he looked at Eliab and he thought, surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, don't look at his appearance or at the height of his stature because I've rejected him. Because God sees not as a man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Man looks at the way you dress, the way you do your hair, the shoes you wear. So the culture looks at. But God looks at the heart. We got to quit looking the way man looks and we got to look at the heart. And that's what God is saying here. Jesse, he calls Abinadab, the next son in line, and he passes before Samuel and he says, the Lord has not chosen this one either. Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by, and he said, the Lord has not chosen this one either. And then he made seven of his sons pass. But Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord's not chosen any of these. Is there anybody else? Are you any other children? He said, well, yeah, there's one that remains. He's the youngest, though, but it can't be him. He's out in the pastures. He said, well, go get him. When he comes in, God says, anoint him. He's the man. And I'll tell you this. David's a youth and he hears, I'm going to be king. The prophet came and has declared that I'm going to be king. He heard the word of God. And to overcome the Goliath, he had to have to hear the word that he would be king. You see, to overcome your struggle, you got to have faith based on the word of God, not based on feelings, not based on what the world says, not based on what you have in this life. Listen, you can't throw money, education, environment, talent, skill at the problem. You got to throw the faith of God at it. David would hear the word and he'd walk in it so that when he'd approach the battle line and he would hear the taunts of this Philistine, he would believe the word of God. And David said, listen, if Saul, who is the king now, won't go after him, I, who will be the king, will go after him. My victory is sure. Because God told me I'm going to be king, and I'm not king yet. And if I go fight this Philistine, he can't kill me because God's promise says I'm going to be the king. So he heard the word that he was going to be the next king of Israel. And he went after the Philistine because of what he heard at his daddy's house. You'll be king. He banked it all on that. And the scripture says for you and me in Romans 10:17 that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. So I got to hear the word. What does the word say about me? Well, the word says that you are conquerors and victors by the blood of Christ, that you're children of the king, that you have the Spirit of God, the word of God. You have everything you need to face the world and the Goliath in your life. You have the mighty weapons of God, and you are reconcilers, ambassadors, witnesses, disciples. You are even lovers of God and people. You have His provision, His power, His might, His blessing, His righteousness, His peace, His nature. Will you hear that today? Because I want to tell you, you'll hear that and you'll face any obstacle, any stronghold, any Goliath in your way. You know what? With that kind of faith, you'll win. Because it's overcoming faith. It's overcoming faith. He secured this faith by hearing the word, but he also secured it through a love for God's character. And I think this is one of the biggest areas of failure in the Christian church. How much do you think of God and His character? How much do you think of God and His word? How much do you think of how you make God look? How much do you think of that? Because when David accepts this challenge, notice in verse 24, 1 Samuel 17:24. When all the men of Israel saw this man, they fled from him and were greatly afraid. And the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who is coming? Surely he is coming up to defy Israel. And it will be that the king will enrich the man who kills him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And then David spoke to the men who were standing by him saying, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine? In other words, this is what he's saying. Who is this man who is not walking in covenant with our Almighty God? We are of the covenant people of God. We have been secured and promised the victory. Who is this man taunting us who does not have God as his God, who has not walked in covenant with our God, who walks in covenant with the world? Who is this man? Who is he that he should taunt the armies of the living God? And here's where faith is birthed. When I have this love for God's character, he hears the taunts and he says, what are we scared of? My God is bigger and better than this. We know God's ways. I love God's ways. And his ways are victory. God's character demands it. And he says it, his character will see that it happens. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? We are God's chosen. We have the promises. We have the word. Who is he and who are we? I'll go out and fight this man. And I'll take away the reproach. A love for the character of God. I want to tell you this. David is not interested in making much of himself, but making much of God. Bottom line. Making much of God. See, I got to ask the question, how interested am I making much of Christ in my life? If I walk in sin and rebellion, if I have a gossiping, filthy mouth, if I have outbursts of anger and I doubt God's word and work, if I walk in grumbling and discontentment, I'm going to tell you, that causes the world to blaspheme God's name. That's why the world says they're a bunch of hypocrites. Because they say one thing and they do another. And what that does, it makes much of the enemy and much of you. See, Saul is trembling, scared for his flesh, because Saul thought much of his flesh. David did not fear for his flesh, because he didn't think much of David, but he thought much of God. Is God preeminent in your life? That's what faith comes to. It's a love for God's character, a love for God's ways. There's another way that we secure faith, and that's remembering God's work. Notice verse 31. When the words which David spoke were heard, they told them to Saul, and he sent for him. And David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail on account of him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." And Saul said to David, "You're not able to go and fight with him. You're but a youth, and he's been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant was tending his father's sheep when a lion or a bear came and took the lamb from the flock. I went out after him, attacked him, rescued it from his mouth. And when he had rose up against me, I seized him by his beard, and I struck him, and I killed him. Your servant has killed both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, since he has taunted the armies of the living God." What did he do? He remembered God's faithfulness. He remembered God's work. And I tell you, this is so important to victory. Because in the middle of the battle, we seem to forget what God has done in the past to bring us through the last battle. And we forget. Listen, if you are in a problem right now, a struggle, and you've walked with God, would you please remember God's faithfulness? Whatever it is, to remember it and to know that this Goliath can come down today by you remembering and not forgetting God's work. Finally, our faith is secured through a confidence in the name of God. This is what David said when he came to the Philistine. "You come to me with worldly weapons. You come to me with a spear and a sword and all this stuff, but I'm going to come to you in the name of the Lord. I come to you with the mighty spiritual weaponry that will destroy you today." What that simply means, translated today, is, you know what? I've got to start using a language of faith that says, I will not walk in agreement with fear. I will not walk in agreement with worry and anxiety. I will not walk in agreement with this bitterness. I will not walk in agreement with this sexual temptation. I will not walk in agreement. I will stand strong because I have the weapons of warfare that are mighty in God for the destruction of fortresses. So David had. He had a great confidence in the name of God. His name will be honored. Will you honor His name by facing your Goliath? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the faith of our brother David, who believed the promises of God, who had a heart after God. And we need a heart after God today. And so I pray that you'd come and create within us hearts after God, who will do all your will, so that everything else in our life will flow from that, believing the promises of God, believing in the character of God, believing in the call of God to be men and women of faith. Father, I want to pray that as a result of this morning, that today fear in some of my brothers and sisters' lives would flee. You'd put that foreign army to flight. Uncertainty would be taken away. The bondage and the enslavement to sexual sin would be removed. The love for the world, the love for money, the love for things would be wiped out today. And Father, we'd have a heart that would do all your will. And I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Mike Fritcher is the pastor of Cottonwood Baptist Church near Dublin, Texas. If you would like to hear this broadcast or any other sermons from our audio library, or if you feel led to support this ministry, please visit us online at livingoneveryword.org.